We are still working on the new birth. I believe on last week we went to John chapter number 3. That's really the basis for the new birth lesson, because it's coming directly from Jesus. And Jesus lays out the requirements when he is being asked a question from Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious man. In other words, he was a person that studied scripture and devoted himself to learning more about the law and understanding the law and teaching the law. And when he comes to Jesus, he's coming to Jesus for the purpose of gaining an understanding. Says the scripture in chapter number 3, says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher. Rabbi, same thing as saying teacher or master. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be what? God be with him. Now, as we said on last week, Nicodemus' understanding or revelation was limited, because all he could see is that Jesus was with God. You see that in verse number 2. We know that thou art a teacher come, what? From God. He said nobody can do these miracles that you're doing except God be what? So his revelation or his understanding was limited, because all he could see is that Jesus was with God. And the realness or the genuineness or the importance of our salvation, it starts with you knowing that Jesus is not with God, but that he is God. Hebrews tells us in 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God. Now this is Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus came. Verse number 2. The same came to Jesus by night. And Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now Nicodemus's revelation was limited, because he did not believe that Jesus is. He believed that Jesus was with, or Jesus came from, but Hebrews 11:6 says he must believe that Jesus is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek him. So a person has to know who Jesus is. A person has to know it and has to believe it. As we gave you the example of Moses on last week, when he asked God his name, God revealed unto Moses, he said, I am the father I am the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He says, I am come down to deliver my people. I have heard their cry, come to deliver them out of bondage. Salvation, to be brought out of. He came to deliver them out of bondage. Moses says, when I come before the people and they should ask me, what is your name? Let's go over there really quick, because I don't want to quote it wrong. Exodus chapter number 3, I believe. 3 and verse number 13 and 14.
Moses said unto God,
yes.
Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel,
yes.
The God of your fathers
have sent me. Right. This is what Moses was saying. Moses understood that this is God, because he saw that burning bush. Saw that burning bush, felt the heat, saw the flames, but the bush was still green. It was not consumed. It did not burn up. It didn't turn into ashes. And scripture says Moses turned to see this great sight. And when he went over there to that bush, he heard a voice in that bush calling out to him, right?
And that voice called out to him and said, called him by his name, Moses, take off the shoes from off of your feet. The ground that you're standing on is holy. Why is it holy? Because God had visited that ground, right? And he identified himself. He said, Moses, he identified himself as being the God of Moses' forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then in verse number, what is that you were reading? 13. Verse number 13, what does it say?
It says, when I come unto the children of Israel, yes, say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you.
Yes.
And shall say to me, what is his name?
What is his name? Moses wanted a name. But let's see what Jesus did in response to that question.
He said, what shall I say unto them?
Yes.
And God said unto Moses, I am that
I am. I am that I am, right? I am that I am. Now, that means a self-existent one. That's what the Jehovah's Witness, or the term Jehovah, when you hear that word Jehovah, it makes reference to the Lord. Jehovah means Lord, or the self-existent one. One who does not depend on anyone else to exist. He exists in and of himself. He was here before we got here, and he's going to be here after we're here.
Amen.
He does not need us for anything. We need him for everything. We need him to breathe. We need him to move. But he doesn't need us for anything. That's why the Jews called him Jehovah, or the self-existent one. And they kept building on that name. When they needed peace, they said Jehovah will bring us peace, or Jehovah Shalom. The Lord, the self-existent one that brings peace. They kept on building on that. Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. But that was not his name. Jehovah is not his name. Because he was specifically asked a question from Moses, what is thy name? And Jesus says unto him, I am that I am, right? I am that I am. Now go over to John chapter number 9. Chapter number 9 and start at verse number 56. Or chapter number 8 and 56, I'm sorry. John 8 and 56.
John 8 and 56, your father Abraham rejoiced.
Now he's already, here we go, we already know it. He says, I am the God of thy forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come down to deliver my people. Moses asks, what is your name? Right? And he says, I am that I am. Right? Now then in verse number 56 in John chapter 8, he says, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. Right? He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Isn't that something? That means that Abraham saw Jesus. Abraham, the same God that was speaking to Moses, said that Abraham saw Jesus. That means Jesus didn't come into existence when he came out of Mary's womb. His name was Jesus even when Moses asked what is his name. He just didn't tell him the name Jesus. He says, I am that I am. He wants us to know, once we get the revelation that Jesus is God, that Jesus is everything that we need. There's nothing missing in Jesus. Everything that you and I need is in that name. That's what it means to say he is who he is, or I am that I am. Everything we need is in the name of Jesus. That's why he says, I am your father Abraham longed to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham died. Abraham died and was buried. Abraham had to wait in paradise until redemption's price was paid. That's what Job was talking about when he says, when I die and give up the ghost and they ask you a question, where is he? He says, I'm going to lay in that earth. He said, when I lay in that earth, he said, Lord, remember me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me until your wrath is past. Hide me in the secret place. That's what Job was talking about when he said paradise. He's talking about the secret place, the place of preservation. And the scripture described that when Jesus died, he went down into the lower parts of the earth.
and preached to those souls that were waiting.
Right.
Scripture describes that the rich man died. He went into another place.
Right.
But that place that he was in was separated from paradise by a great gulf that was fixed. And the scripture describes that when the rich man in the place that he was, scripture said he was being tormented in flames. He said it. Nobody had to describe it. He said it himself. He said, my soul is being tormented in the flame. And he said, if you would just be kind and send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, I will have some relief. That's what we're trying to tell you, to take advantage of this way of salvation so that you don't have to go into that place of torment. Hell is real. Hell is real. And once you're there, you cannot get out. You need to listen to the testimony of the rich man. The rich man saw another group of people that were not in torment like he was. And the rich man describes the place that he was at as a place of torment. Said the worm don't die. Meaning the soul does not die. There was weeping and there was gnashing of teeth. That's why when Lazarus got down there, he heard the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth. But he was not in torment. Why? Because the scripture says he was in the bosom of Abraham. Abraham was comforting Lazarus. What was he comforting about? He was telling Lazarus that God promised us that he would come down and deliver us. And lift up your head. Don't be sad. Don't be down. We are in a better position than them folk over there across the great gulf that is fixed. We are not in torment like they are. That's what you got to remind yourself, saints. You are in the Lord's church. Even though you hear the cries of the wicked on the outside, you got to remember you are not in the place of torment. Jesus brought you out of darkness. He brought you out of darkness into a marvelous light. He gave you a name to call on, to console you when the enemy tries to make you feel down, feel hopeless. You've got the name of Jesus to comfort your mind, right? You got something the world don't have. You know something the world don't know. Whole lot of folk coming to Jesus, asking the Lord all of these weird questions. Lord, we know you're this and know you're that. We know that you came from God. We know that you are a prophet. We know that you are a great man. We know that you are the man upstairs. Huh? Your mother nature. Nah, you need to know him a little bit more than that. Anyone that come to God must believe that he is. He is the great I am. The great I am that says, I am that I am. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the first. He is the last. He says, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I've got the keys of both hell and death. And because I live, you shall live also. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. I am the living bread. I am that everlasting water that if you drink of me, you will never thirst again. Jesus is the great I am, right? That's the truth, saints. Scripture says that Lazarus was being comforted in Abraham's bosom. And Abraham was talking to the rich man across the great gulf that was fixed. And he said, they're crying. They were crying. There was weeping. And there was gnashing of teeth. And the scripture says that we can't even get to them. That means mother may have been separated from daughter. Father may have been separated from son. Husband may have been separated from wife. And may have been crying. Trying to get some deliverance. But Abraham said there's a great gulf fixed. And we cannot get to you. That's why I'm trying to tell you it's important to pray for your loved ones now before you lose them. Because once you lose them, you cannot get them back. Huh? Once they have crossed over, there is no do-overs. Huh? Once you cross over, you in eternity. Huh? Job said, you're going to give up this ghost, and where will you be at? Huh? You got to prepare yourself. Huh? That's what you're in the church for, to prepare yourself. To prepare yourself for eternity. To make sure you wind up where you want to wind up. So that you can get out of the torment, right? Don't you be fooled by people telling you that hell is down here on earth. It's a place worse than this. Huh? It's amazing. A fella burned up in a building. There's a place worse than the fire that took his life. Isn't that something? A fella burned up in a car. There's a place worse than the fire that took his life. Why? Because when he stopped breathing, he didn't feel that flame anymore. But if he did not have Jesus, his soul got up out of that body and immediately went into the place of eternity. That's what the rich man said. My soul got up out of that body that was clothed in purple and fine linen. My soul got up out of that body that was sitting at the table eating and faring sumptuously. My soul got up out of that body that made plans to build greater barns to store all of my goods. And when my soul got up out of that body, I heard the voice of my maker say to me, you are a fool. Come on! The voice of the rich man's maker called him a fool. Why did he call him a fool? Because this day, your soul is required of you. And when that voice got finished speaking, that soul was in a torment. That soul cried out, my soul is being tormented in this flame, right? That's the truth. Do you want that for yourself? Better wake up out of sleep. Be serious about your salvation. Take advantage of the opportunity that Jesus has given you to know who he is. Not to guess it. Not to wonder about it. But to know who Jesus is. Jesus is the great I am. Huh? Jesus is the one that Abraham longed to see. And the scripture says he saw him. That means Abraham was in that place holding Lazarus. And one day a door was open. Huh? And the resurrection and the life walked through that door and began to preach to them souls that were there waiting. And then when he got finished preaching, the scripture says he led them out of captivity. Meaning there was a door shut, and then Jesus took the keys and unlocked that door. He told you that I got the key to both hell and death. Jesus took the key and unlocked the door. And when he unlocked the door, the scripture said many bodies of the saints got out there. Scripture said their bodies were spit out of the earth. And when they came out, they walked the streets and showed themselves to many. That's what the scripture says. The graves were open and many bodies of the saints walked the streets. That's what you and I are going to do. When we get up out of this body, we're going to walk streets. Not the streets down here, the streets in the new heaven and in the new earth, right? A place where righteousness dwells. Huh? Place where the Lord says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Huh? Come on. You won't hear no more news reports of death anymore. Huh? You won't be busy trying to elect another official to lead and guide you. Jesus is going to be the king. Huh? He's going to be the king of kings. You won't have to vote him into office. He will be there for eternity. And he will rule with righteousness, right? He's going to be upright. Huh? Everything that his voice says, you're going to know is true. Huh?
Come on, you're going to know its truth, and you're going to know it's fair, and it's going to agree with you if you got a mind to want to do right. That's why repentance is so important, to come before the new birth, because you got to change the condition of your thinking, and you got to say, Lord, I want to do right. I don't want to do wrong no more. I want to do right. I want to think right. I want to be right. I want to talk right, right? Most of all, I want to live right. Huh? That's truth. That's how you know when folks struggle with repentance. It's something inside of them. Still want to hold on to this unjust, ungodly, corrupt nature. And you got to say, that nature is going to bring you death. You got to ask yourself the question that Ezekiel asked you. Why will you die? Why do you want to die in sin? When you can just come to Jesus and live. Huh? Church is here to get you to Jesus. Get you to Jesus so you can live. Huh? We try to get across to them young folk. Young folk, they love to be on them phones. Ain't no phones in there. Ain't no life in them phones. Huh? Devil just trying to occupy your mind. Huh? Make you not think about your reality. What is your reality? One day the Lord is going to call you. Huh? And you're going to have to give an answer. You're going to have to give a response for the things that you've done in this body. And I'm trying to tell you, you don't want it to be said that you spent your time looking at your phone. You don't want it to be said that you spent your time in other people's business. Huh? When your soul should be the very foremost thing in your life. Where will I spend eternity when I stop breathing? That's your chief responsibility. You got to prepare yourself for that, right? That's your whole duty. That's your whole duty. That's the only reason why you're in existence. To prepare yourself to go into eternity. Huh? There's a fork in the road. Huh? There's a fork in the road. There's only two paths. One is a narrow way that leads to life. There's another one that's a broad way. And many are going down that broad way that leads to destruction. And you got to cry, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be destroyed. Your Sunday school lesson said, Jesus, have mercy, right? Bring me off of that road that leads to destruction. And get my feet planted on the road that leads to life. That straight and that narrow way. Where you can't walk with a partner. Huh? Lord done told you a fella got to be willing to give up mother, father, sister, brother, house, his land, and even forget and deny himself and take up your cross. Huh? Come on. You're not on the straight and the narrow way to carry nothing. You got to take up your cross. Your cross is what? The suffering of Christ. Huh? Jesus suffered, bled, and died on that cross. And you got to take up your cross and follow behind Jesus. If you suffer, you won't sin. Those that suffer do not sin, right?
Thank you.
You arm yourself with that mind, you don't have to worry about sinning. Why? Because you're too busy carrying the cross of Christ. Huh? When you carry that cross, you witness. You tell other folk that when you're going down that road and they're not on that road, you are encouraging them. Do you have your cross? Huh? I ain't got no cross. Well, you need to go down in the water. Huh? Come on. You need to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're buried with him in baptism. When you come up out that water, there's something waiting for you. As you come up out of that water, there's something waiting for you. There's a cross. Huh? There's a cross waiting for you. When you come up out of that water, there's a cross waiting for you. And it's telling you to walk in the newness of life. Huh? That is your cross. That is your cross. To walk in the newness of life. To set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Why? Because one day Christ, who is your life, is going to appear, right?
I mean, he's just going to show up.
Yes,
and you don't want your eyes to be looking in your phone.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
You don't want your eyes to be meddling in someone else's business.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You don't want your lips to be busy murmuring and complaining.
Right.
Huh? But you need to pick up your cross.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
You need to pick up your cross and follow behind Jesus.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Follow behind Jesus. Until he removes the cross and gives you a crown.
Yes.
And when he gives you a crown, you'll lay it at his feet. There's a crown for you, right? You've got to work for this crown, right? The conditions of the crown is how far you are willing to carry that cross. Huh? You got to carry that cross to your grave. Huh? That cross is your burden. Jesus carried his, and you must carry yours. Carry it until you die. Can you retire? No. You need to carry your cross until you die. Work in the church is not like work in the world. You got to be in this till Jesus come. Come on, saints. Even though I was sitting by the water with my wife, my mind was still on Jesus. In other words, I didn't lay the cross down. I had to carry the cross everywhere I went. When I went to the store, I still had to carry the cross there. You go to McDonald's and get some french fries. You got to carry the cross with you. Carry it everywhere you go. Why? Because you're still breathing, right? And you got to walk in the newness of life, right? Cannot let it down until Jesus removes it. Oh yes, one day he's going to remove the cross. Well, you don't know, Elder Scott, that he removed the cross. He's going to take you out of this body. This body is a part of the cross. Huh? And you got to bring this body under subjection. You got to mortify the deeds of this flesh. Huh? But it's a weird thing that you call my body a cross. Huh? Yes, it is a weird thing. Because the Lord says you've died. And your life now belongs to him. And that's what Galatians, I believe, was trying to help us understand. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, I live because of him that loved me, right? And gave his life for me, right? One writer said, you've been bought with the price. And you are not your own. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? That Lazarus, the beggar, realized his life was not his own. He desired not to get involved in the system that brought the rich man the purple and the fine linens. That brought the rich man tables full of food. He said, all I want is to eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. Nevertheless, the scripture said the dogs came and licked his sores, but he stayed right there. I'm trying to tell you, this is a suffering way. You've got to stay right there, right? Can't get involved in the mess, in the corruption, in the pollution. Oh yeah, you got to stay committed to Jesus. You got to stay as a representative of Jesus, so that one day you can be like Abraham and say, I see Jesus. You can be like Stephen, looking up towards heaven while his body is facing death because of rocks that are being thrown at him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That brother gave us a testimony of the suffering way. Scripture said that they kept on throwing rocks at him. But he did not give up looking at Jesus. He kept on with his mind focused. He set his affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Did he want the rocks to stop? Yes. But he didn't say protest. Protest. Scripture said he was calling on Jesus. Come on, saints. Why they threw the rocks? He was calling on Jesus. Calling on Jesus and Lord, receive my spirit. In other words, Lord, deliver me, right? Deliver me. He was calling on Jesus. He wasn't murmuring. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't fussing. He wasn't cussing. He was calling on Jesus. Huh? That's how I'm trying to tell you. The devil is trying to take the Lord's name out your lips. Huh? You need to keep on calling on Jesus. When this stuff gets difficult. Huh? When stuff gets hard. When your mind gets off of focus. You need to call on Jesus. There is no salvation in any other. There is no other name. Huh? Y'all understand what I'm saying? There's no other name under the heaven given to you to deliver you but the name of Jesus, right? You need to call on Jesus. And I mean keep on calling the Lord. Call him until, huh? Wait until you are endued with power from on high. Huh? Power to live right. Power to overcome those negative feelings. Those negative attitudes. Those negative thoughts. Those thoughts that are not like Jesus. Huh? You need to call on Jesus until he brings into captivity everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge that Jesus put inside of you. What knowledge did he put inside of you? That I am the great I am. Huh? There's nothing too hard for Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. What's impossible for you is possible for Jesus. And you need to lean and depend on the name of possibility, right? That's the truth. Need to lean and depend on that name. Huh? Oh, yes. Read me a little bit more of that. Where were we at? In John chapter number 8, 35. Says, Abraham longed to see my day, and he saw it. And was glad. Keep going.
And it says, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old.
Something's wrong with their eyes. Something is wrong with their eyes. Here they are looking at the Creator and calling him less than 50. How are you going to look at somebody that was there before time started? Said, let there be light. And call him 50. Huh? He said, you less than 50. Nah, he greater than 50. Huh? Jesus greater than 50. Methuselah was the oldest man that walked the earth. But Jesus greater than Methuselah. He said, one day with me is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. How can you look at him and say he's less than 50 when he's the Ancient of Days? Oh, he was here before time was, right? Huh? But all they could see was he was less than 50. Huh? You better not let the devil put that in your mind. Huh? Devil done put that in a whole lot of folks' minds. And when this COVID stuff started coming up, huh? They said, oh, Jesus is less than COVID. Huh? Oh, yeah. Because they let COVID dictate what they do. Huh? Instead of looking at COVID and saying, Jesus is greater than COVID. Huh? Come on. Come on, COVID. I'm up under the blood. Huh? Come on, saints. I'm up under the blood. Huh? And when I'm up under the blood, what can man do to me? Huh? Jesus, I'm more than the whole world against you, right? We are more than conquerors, right? You say, greater. Greater is he. That's why you got to get the Holy Ghost. Because you need something greater. Holy Ghost is greater than all of this stuff, right? Huh? Oh, yes. Holy Ghost is greater than this stuff. Holy Ghost is greater than death. He's greater than disease. He's greater than famine. Huh? Holy Ghost answers prayer. Holy Ghost makes ways out of no ways. Huh? Holy Ghost opens doors that seem to be shut. Huh? Holy Ghost gets in folks' minds. Huh? And makes them release blessings in your way. Huh? Don't you realize, saints, that stimulus money that we got over these past couple of years? Elder Scott didn't need that money. Why? Because I was still working. Huh? I didn't lose my job. I did not have a decrease in my income. I still worked every day, got the same pay every 2 weeks. But the Lord says, I'm going to release blessings into your life. All of you that are on fixed incomes, you're making the same money before COVID. But the Lord gave you more. He released blessings into your life. That's why the Lord said, count your blessings. Count them up. Folk all around you suffering. And you got to be careful. Lest you try to put yourself in them same shoes. The righteous looked around and said, no, that's not me. The Lord has set my tree. Blessing me. My cup runneth over. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Isaiah 1200. Lord say that's not enough for the righteous. Give them some more. I mean blessings on top of blessings. Folks running around buying Gucci and all. Not the righteous. Say, what will you do as soon as it come in? Pay my tithe. Pay my tithe. Thank you, Jesus. Put it in the bank. Put it in the bank. Save a little bit. Beautify the place where the Lord gave you. We patched up some holes in the wall. Just got to say, oh, Steve, and I'm sick of looking at all the cracks and stuff in the baseball. I said, oh, yeah, baby. We just did not. That was your crap. Don't be ashamed. That was your crap. You asked the Lord to fix your house up, and he answered your prayer, right? That was her concern. Yeah, don't back up from it. That was your concern. That thing hurt her heart. She would have to walk in the house and see chips in the baseboard, different things we would try to work to patch up the holes and stuff. That was her concern. She wanted to walk in the house and the walls look like normal walls. But I'm trying to tell you, if you just make your petition to the Lord, you don't know when the Lord is going to open up a door. You don't know when the Lord is going to set your house in order. Oh yeah, he set her provider's house in order. He set my house in order. He got me into a position where I got a job, and the Lord had the fella go down through my background. He said, you got this on you. Got this on you. And you need to fix it. And then after I got it fixed, it was amazing. Because he said, well, you know, you really didn't have to do that in order to get this job. I said, well, what did you tell me that for? And I realized it wasn't him that was telling me. It was the Lord Jesus. He was trying to get my house in order. In other words, position me to receive the blessing. Or do y'all understand what I'm saying? Position you to receive the blessing. And after I got that stuff together, Stephen started noticing. Stuff started that was looking dark and grim. Lord started bringing some light to it. I had numbers that was in red. Lord took them from red to yellow. Now they're in the green. Meaning positive. Meaning people telling me, good job. You doing a good job. Keep up the good work. Them little numbers started coming up. Now, instead of me having to go, please, beg, can you please give me? They said, we'll give you more. And I'd say, oh no. I don't want no more, because what I'm paying is good enough for me. I don't want to feel the money going out. Y'all heard what I'm saying? I don't want to feel it going out, but it just goes out with such ease. And before you know it, people congratulating you, telling you, oh, you done paid the debt down this far so quickly. I said, ain't nobody but Jesus. Jesus had positioned me to do right by what he gave me. And now I can fix up his blessing. Now the Lord done fixed it. I don't, by now I own where I lay my head at. Huh? Come on, do y'all understand this? I own where I lay my head at. Huh? Ain't no bank over my head saying you owe this. I own where I lay my head at. I'm able to fix up my house. Look at Jesus. I mean, fix it up. Fix that thing up. Huh? I mean, fix it up. If I can afford it, it's going to get done. How do y'all understand it? Why? Because I owe Jesus. He done gave it to me. He done laid this baby in my lap and said, take care of it, right? Huh? That's a blessing, isn't it? What he done for me, he'll do for you too. All you got to do is just walk up right before Jesus. Huh? Follow my steps. Huh? Walk up right before Jesus. Huh? No good thing will the Lord withhold from you. Huh? As long as a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make his enemies. Y'all understand that? He will silence them. Y'all understand that? In other words, he will shut them up. I mean, shut them up to where you don't even hear from them no more. Huh? We used to hear from little ones every now and then. Try to make you feel bad. Try to say things that hurt your feelings. Get up under your skin. Lord said, I know how to take care of this. Put your name on the deed. Huh? Let them call. What you calling for? This is my house now. Huh? My name is on the deed. Huh? And it's a beautiful thing when others whose names are on there with you confirm it. I go and say, well, you know, I want to go do this. You say, well, what you calling me for? It's yours. You do what you want to do with it. It's on you now. I said, amen, Lord Jesus. See, he reminds me. He reminds me the position that you in, right? Now all you got to do is just keep on walking upright. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, I did not get here overnight. This was a suffering way. As you come to each and every anniversary, it's a reminder to let you know what you had to go through in order to get your soul right. Huh? Don't you forget it. What you had to go through to get your soul right. And once the Lord begins to plant your feet on solid ground, he expects something from you. Huh? Don't you fall prey. Don't you fall into the habits of others that do not know Jesus. You know Jesus. You know him as the great I am, right? That's why you praise him.
Yes.
You thank him.
Yes.
Huh? You honor the Lord.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Called Deacon into the office. I was teasing him. I did have something to say to him. But when he got in there, he was so humble and contrite this morning. I said, Lord, just tell me. He said, don't bother with him right now. Because I got a little bit more things I need to go over with him. I brought him in. He said, yeah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. He said, what did I do? Whatever, I did what you told me to do. Whatever, I said, all right, brother, it's all right. Just want to make sure everything is okay. Everything, just like you told me to do it, I did it, Elder Scudder. I said, amen. That's humility. That's what you need to ask the Lord to keep you at. Huh? You don't buck up against me, I'm your pastor. I'm watching for your soul, right? Huh? Lord is trying to get us on that straight and that narrow. And everything he tells us to correct us, let your voice say, amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. If he didn't care for you, he would not correct you. He'll let you go on and keep doing your devil myth. But as the Lord corrects you, you say, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because that's a reminder to know that the Lord loves me. He's got his eyes on me. Huh? That's right. He got his eyes on you. Huh? Say, well, y'all always know. Nobody's in your business. I'm doing my job. I watch for your soul. That's my job. I am your watchman, right? When I see it, I talk about it. Huh? Sometimes my comments is long. Yeah. Huh? Because I got to keep on going over. Let me say, I just gotta, you already said it, but I got to say it again. Huh? Somewhere somebody's mind may be resistant to it. May be a little bit rebellious. And the Lord is trying to have compassion. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, get out of yourself and listen. Huh? Y'all said that he that got an ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying to you. Huh? That's the truth, saints. Abraham said he longed to see his day and he saw it. And when he saw it, he was what? See, the devil don't want you to be glad. Y'all understand this? See, when you received the Holy Ghost, you had joy. He was glad about Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, the devil don't want you to be glad. He don't want you to be happy about the Lord. He want to keep your face long, huh? Keep you sad, keep you in a low disposition, huh? Keep your face all long. That ain't Jesus. Jesus ain't give you the Holy Ghost like that. When he gave you the Holy Ghost, you was glad about Jesus, huh? Say, I just gotta, what are you talking about? I was glad. Well, do you have the Holy Ghost? If you trying to figure out what I'm talking about, you better go back to the altar, huh? You wasn't glad when you got the Holy Ghost. Go back. Why? Because you ain't got it like you're supposed to have it. When the Holy Ghost comes in, joy comes in with it. You should be glad about the Holy Ghost, right? And I'm trying to tell you, the devil don't want you to be glad. He don't want you to have no joy. Huh? He wants you to be miserable. Wants you to keep giving you sad news. Huh? Have your face be looking all weird. Huh? That's the truth. I said, that's the truth. You don't want to be that way. No. Nah. You hear Saint call you complaining and murmuring, get off the phone with him. Sometimes I got to go. Well, you just call it, I got to go. Huh? You messing up my spirit. You messing up my mind. Huh? I was just rejoicing before you called. And you're not adding to my joy. Saints should add to your joy. They shouldn't subtract away from it. They should add to your joy. That's the truth. True. They should add to it. Abraham longed to see his day. And he saw it. And the scripture said he was what?
Glad.
He wasn't sad.
Nope.
He was glad. So when you see Jesus, you should be what?
Glad.
Huh? And they said, oh, you not even 50 years old. See a problem. Seeing Jesus. Huh? All you could see is a fleshly body. You called him Joseph's son. Joseph was a carpenter. But little did you know he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Huh? Come on, he is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Huh? People were amazed to see the power of his voice. He spoke to the dead, called the dead by name, and the dead came back to life. The power that was in his voice, right? That's why his mother said, whatever he say, do, just do it. Why? Because there's power in his voice, right? That's why you need the Lord to speak to you, saints. Huh?
Yeah.
Speak to your heart.
Yeah.
When you're down there calling Jesus, look for his voice. Say, Lord, speak to my heart, right? He'll speak power into your life. He'll bring some strength back to you. Huh? I said that to you last week. I was telling you to get out. Get up. Get to moving. Huh? Move these bodies. Why? Because if you don't, you'll lose it. Huh? If you're not careful, your hands will ache when you're trying to praise Jesus. And you don't want that spirit to set inside of you. Huh? Now when the Lord told you what to do in the 150th Psalm, he told you let everything that had breath praise him. Huh? You need some breath in your hands. Huh? Say, Lord, I need some breath in my ankles. Why? Because I need to praise you with it, right? Huh? That's the truth, saints. Don't you let Arthur and nobody else rob you from what you want to give Jesus. Huh? That's a beautiful thing to see in before our faces during our lifetime, to see somebody affected with a disease of the memory.
Right.
Huh? Dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever you want to call it, a disease of the memory. It's amazing to see during our lifetime somebody still can serve Jesus that can't even remember who you are. Huh? Come on! They still got a mind to serve Jesus. Huh? Even in their old age. 90 plus. Still got a mind to praise Jesus and sing with authority. Sing with authority. Come on, I'm saying sing with authority and declare the goodness of Jesus, right? That's something that is an amazing thing, isn't it? In our lifetime. For the Lord to show us that. See, you all may not have known Deacon Tate. He was there in my lifetime. And he had the same disease, the same Alzheimer's, the same dementia afflicted his body. And he would just sit there in the service. Huh? Like a, you know, somebody say a bump on the log. Sit there, inactive, not moving. But his family kept him coming. Huh? Isn't that something? And he would see his own time fight to get out the car. But they would take his feet and put him there. He would be pulling. They put him in there. And they sit him right there in the seat, kept him coming. Huh? And it was amazing to see the power of Jesus. One day, the Lord blessed some mother to get up and sing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." She started singing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." Oh, thank you, Jesus. I remember that thing like it was yesterday. She said, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." And it was amazing to see him go from an unmovable state to look up and he get like this, put his hands back on his knees. That means that that song was resonating with that enemy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The devil can attack your body, but he cannot afflict your soul. The Holy Ghost comes in to deliver your soul, right? When you get life, you get it in your soul, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's inside of your soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? And I don't care what affliction is going on in your body. Huh? Said about that Brother Carson, when he was on his deathbed, tubes and things all in his body, saints got around him. Oh, that's why I'm trying to tell you, we need to be more spiritual. Stop being so carnal. Stop being so sidetracked when other folks say things to you. Keep your mind on Jesus. This is spiritual work. We're fighting against forces of darkness. And we need the name of Jesus to combat them forces, right? Saints got around his body and started singing a familiar song to him. "I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. He's coming back." Saints said that while they started singing, tubes all in his body, tubes all up his nose, his hands just started patting. See, the body was afflicted with death, but his soul had life in it, right? Not long after that, he gave up the ghost and he died. Huh? But what are you saying, Elder Scudder? You got to be in this till the death. Huh? You got to take up your cross and follow Jesus to the death. Huh? And to the Lord exchanges your cross for a crown. You got to stay in this till the death, right? You got to have your mind made up that I'm in this till the death, right? Huh? Starts by seeing Jesus. He's not just some 30-year-old man. Huh? He's not some little baby in the manger. Huh? He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Huh? He is the great I Am. They saw him, said, "Thou art not 50. And you're talking about, you know our father, and you talk about you not even known, but you've seen Abraham." Go ahead, what did he say? Who said it? Not another prophet. Huh? Not another prophet. God himself opened up his own mouth. And what did God say?
Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say.
In other words, truly, truly. Uh-huh. That's what verily, verily means. Uh-huh. Truly, truly, uh-huh. I say unto you.
Before.
Isn't that somebody that control time?
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Before your mama's 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 mama. Before Abraham was.
I am.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Same one that told Moses, I am that I am. Is over here in the New Testament telling you and I, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the great I am. Moses said, what is your name? Huh? What should I tell him? And he said, I am that I am. Now he says, before Abraham was,
I am.
And he tell you who said it. They tell you who said it. So you don't have to wonder.
Nope.
You don't have to guess.
Nope.
When Moses said, what is your name? He's telling you what his name is. Jesus said, truly, truly, before Abraham was. Is that right? Now I'm going to tell you, what will the world do to this revelation? The next verse says what?
And it says, then took they up stone to cast.
Oh, so that means they didn't have a problem understanding. They just didn't want to hear it. Y'all, do y'all understand this?
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with your family's brains.
No.
Ain't nothing wrong with their mind.
Uh-huh.
When you tell them they need to be born again, they hear what you say.
Right.
They just don't want to do it.
Right.
Ain't nothing wrong with their mind. According to this next verse, nothing was wrong with their minds. Said they took up what?
Stone.
But what did Jesus do?
Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through
the midst of them, and so passed by. Because it wasn't his time. Stones was not going to be the method of death. He had to die on the cross. He had to become a curse for us. Because the scriptures say, curses everyone that hangs on the tree. He became a curse for us. See, they tried to kill him. How you know it? Because they tried to pick up stones. Folk ain't taking no stones to throw at you to make you feel bad. They trying to kill you. They throw rocks at you until you die. Till you stop breathing. Ask Stephen. They threw stones at Stephen until Stephen stopped breathing. So they tried to do the same thing to Jesus. And Jesus said, no, a rock is not the method of death. Come on, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
What was the method of death? Jesus, I had to die on a tree. And not just die on a tree, I needed to suffer. Rocks ain't going to let a whole lot of blood come out of you. But a piercing of the vital parts. You got major veins going into your wrists. Major veins going into your feet. And if that wasn't enough, they put a crown of thorns on his head. That wasn't enough. They took a spear and pierced him in his side. What they say? It ruptured his bladder. Because now you got water and blood coming out of his side. Then he tells you what he was going through on that cross. He said, my heart is melting like wax. In other words, the organ is still trying to pump. But there's no blood flowing into that organ. Y'all understand this? Come on, biology, anatomy. You need blood to flow into your heart. In order for you to have oxygen in your body, you need blood. And he said, now because the blood is going out of my body, my heart is melting like wax. And I'm dehydrated. Why? Because my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Come on, saints. He's dying. Y'all understand this? He's dying. Death was beginning to set in. And then there was a soul on the side of him that said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Jesus stopped dying. He got breath in his body and said, this day you will be with me, Abraham, Lazarus, in paradise, right? After that, said it is finished. He gave up the ghost and he died. Went down into the lower parts of the earth. Door was open. Abraham saw him. Lazarus, get up. There he goes. Not only saw him, but he heard him. Heard him speaking to him, right? Not only speaking, but they saw the authority in his hand. That I've got the keys. To both hell and death. Hell's door was locked. Jesus opened it up. And when he opened it up, he said, y'all come on and go with me. He led captivity out of captivity, right? He became the first fruit. The first fruit.
Thank you, Jesus.
First fruit to get up out that earth. Did he? Is he finished? He said, no, I'm not done. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you. Are you to you? Amen. Receive who? You unto myself, right? That where I am, don't you give up your hope. Don't you do that. I don't care what's going on in earth. Don't you give up your hope. Keep that reminder before you. Why are you here? Why am I seeking after the new birth? You got to realize Jesus is just not with God. So what did Nicodemus say? I know that you come from God. You can't do this stuff unless God is with. Jesus is not with God. Jesus is God. Y'all know that? Jesus is God. He is the Almighty God. He is He which was, which is, and is to come. That's Jesus. You can't even talk about being born of the water and the Spirit until you come to that understanding. Everybody understand that? Say, Elder Scudder, you ain't even get to the water. You can't get to that part until you understand first who Jesus is. That way when you go down in that water, you realize I'm being buried with him. This ain't a light thing. This ain't something I can go and put on a chart and say we done baptized 1,000-something people. Out of that 1,000, who knows who Jesus is? I don't know. Well, something is wrong with you. Whoever the preacher was that took you in the water, something is wrong with them. Because they should have first started off with telling you who Jesus is. And shouldn't have took you down in no water until you know who Jesus is. You go down in that water. Come on. Go down in that water. Do you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the gospel? Come on, you got to get out the water. You got to get on out the water. Well, I want to be back. You don't even know what the gospel is. You're not ready for the water yet. You can't receive something you haven't believed. Paul said, I deliver unto you first of what I have already received. How that Christ died for our sins and was buried. Now he rose the third day. That is the gospel, right? You need to know the gospel. The birth, the life, the teaching, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension, the promised soon return of Jesus. That's the gospel. Say, do you believe the gospel? You say, yes, I believe the gospel. and in obedience to the commandments of Jesus, and by the confession of your faith, we now baptize you in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission. That word remission means the removal or the sending away of sin. As that lady said, early one morning, just about the breaking of day, Jesus came into my room and touched me and washed my sins away. See, that's a problem. That's why I said you got to be careful about what you sin. Jesus don't come by and touch you to wash sins away.
Right.
Jesus said the only way you get sins washed away is you got to go down in the water.
Right.
In the name. See, the song sounds good, but you listen to what he's saying. Said the Lord came into my room and touched me and washed all my sins. No, 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 no. You need to be like that eunuch. Where is the water? Huh? That's what the sister said. Maybe she got a pool in her room. I don't know. But you need a water in order to get your sins washed away, right? You need water and you need a name. Huh? This girl was telling me the other day, she said the preacher say, baptize you in the name of the Father, and then the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Somebody should have said, hold up. But if the three are one, why are you wasting your breath saying, Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Give me the one. If these three are one, give me the one. I don't know who the one is, but then you get up out the pool then. Because you don't even know who the one is. I know who the one is.
Yes. Yes.
That's what that song says, follow me. I'll point you to Jesus.
Yes.
You are blessed, saints. Because you're in a place that understands that.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
We just don't run and take folk down in the water. All quick, quick, quick. Because
right.
We want you to know who Jesus is first.
Right.
Then when you go down in that water, then you can know you got some understanding.
Right. Yes.
Realize that you are becoming what? Buried. With him. Huh? And when you come about that water, you're supposed to be coming up walking how? And when you come about that water, there's something waiting for you. Huh? Newness of life means there's a cross that is there. And he hath commanded you to do what? Take up your cross. Huh? And stop following who? Yourself. And follow behind who?
Jesus.
Need to give up who you are. Need to stop walking around saying, I'm a scutter. Let me tell you about the scudder history. Huh? Scudder's this, a scudder's that. Jesus looking at you, but I said, I thought you went down in my name. Huh? I thought you belonged to me now. Huh? Since Scudder be walking around telling folks, wish that people said, no, well, my name is Tawana Poole. Look a little funny.
Nice.
I had to pull up to the side and say, are you all right? Huh? What? What's wrong? You telling folks you Tawana Poole. What's up? Oh, I was just talking to them. What, you got a problem? Huh? You don't like that thing on your finger? Huh? Huh? I worked hard to get that thing on your finger, right? Huh? Yeah. Your name ain't changed? No. It's just that I was around my daddy's people and they don't know who you are. Well, introduce them. Take your time and introduce me to somebody. Well, but they know me, but they don't know you. Well, now's your time to introduce them. Pull me by the hand and take me to each and every one of them. Say, who is this? This is my husband. Who is your husband? Stephen Scudder. Huh?
Yes.
Oh, what's your last name is Scudder now? Yes. My last name is Scudder, right? All right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, same way if that worked in the natural, it worked in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Folk coming to y'all, we all serve the same God. Who is your God?
Right.
Who is your God?
Jesus.
You know
uh-uh.
Jehovah? No.
Uh-uh.
That ain't no name.
Uh-uh.
That ain't no name.
Uh-uh.
Who you say God is? Jesus is my God.
Yes.
Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is my God.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I served him too. Did you go down in his name?
No.
Did you get buried with him?
No.
What do you mean that I get buried with him? I gave my life to Christ. I ain't talking about giving your life to nobody. Did you go down in his name?
Right.
The Lord is looking for his blood to be on your life.
Right.
Have you gone down in his name?
Yes.
Oh, well, we all got baptized. How did you get baptized? Oh, well, we think he said it. Well, you need to know it. And if you don't know it, find some water. Right? First, you need to know who your God is. Scripture says, he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, right? And that he's a rewarder of them that do what? That's right. You need to know who your God is first. Then go down in that water. And after you go down in that water, you need the Holy Ghost. This is why we have the altar. This is why we have pillows. This is why we have chairs. This is why we spend time doing what? Calling on the name of Jesus. Calling on his name until you are endued with what? Power. From on high. Right? And you don't stop calling Jesus. Folks say, well, I got the Holy Ghost now. Don't you stop calling Jesus. Why? I need it. Because you still need some power. Huh? You need that power to keep on working in your life. Huh? How you mean that is scuttered? Because you still need to stay glad about Jesus. Every now and then the devil tries to bring you some bad news. And that stuff messes your mind up. And you don't want the enemy to steal your joy. Right? Didn't Shirley Caesar sing that song? This joy I have, the world didn't what? Give it to me. And the world can't what? Don't make a liar out of that song. Don't let the world steal your joy. I don't care who the world is. Don't let them do what? Steal your joy. Why? Because they did not give it to you. Remember, Jesus is the source of your joy. Right? All right, put a pin there. We'll pick back up with it. Next week, seem like I ain't getting no more than I got in last week. But I want you to know how dangerous it is for you to keep coming to Jesus talking about he's with God. You need to know that Jesus is God. Y'all probably never even looked at John 3 like that. Because we be so close to running and getting the water and the spirit. But you need to really realize what was wrong, why Jesus couldn't go no further with him. Because he had a problem seeing Jesus as God. Huh? And he said it out of his own mouth. So I know that you come from God. And you, God is what? With you. That's an insult to Jesus. We know you come from God. And we know God is with you. Jesus said, hold up. Let's stop right here, brother. You need to be born again. And that old long priestly long garment. Y'all know them. You know how Nicodemus, he had to look righteous. Because Jesus told you they wore their garments down to the heel. You know he was talking all pious to Jesus. Oh God. Oh Jesus. Oh Rabbi. We know that you are come from God. And Jesus said, pump your brakes, brother. You need to be born again, right? You don't even see who I am yet. Let alone talking about miracles. You don't even know where the wind coming from. You can't even pinpoint its origin, right? That's something you feel it. You know it's windy. You'd be saying, well, where'd that wind come from? Can't even be out there questioning. Let's go get this. Let's build this device. Let's go build this device, this satellite, and go way up in the sky and say, oh, you see this storm down here in this sector? It's coming up. And people like this, see, they know the weather. They're the meteorologists. And you and your simple mind saying, there ain't nobody but Jesus. And leave it alone. See, they don't want me to tell the weather. Where's the weather going to be? You better go pray. We don't know what Jesus is going to do today. We just don't know how Jesus is going to show up. Say, well, it's a hurricane. Look at Jesus.
That's right.
Look how Jesus showed them folk in that neighborhood and all that stuff they built is nothing. See how he threw that house across the way? But he yet kept that house. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, one little house.
See that earthquake? That happened over there. Jesus shook the earth. The foundations of the earth. Jesus let that lightning bolt come down. Boom, 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 boom.
That's right.
Jesus did that. They don't want church to tell the weather. They don't want the church to deal with the economy. I don't want you to tell you how to deal with your money. Say, no more taxes, pay your tithes. Huh? Pay your tithes up. Well, what about the clean up street? You don't need no trash, people. Pick up your own trash. Pick up your own trash and take it where it's supposed to be at. Stop being lazy. Huh? Deacon James tell you to focus. Lazy. They don't want to do nothing. Huh? Pick up your own stuff. Get rid of your own trash. Huh? Save some energy. Cut the lights off at night. Go to bed. No street lights. The earth is dark. Go to bed. It's time to go to sleep. Can't nobody work while it's night. Right? You don't need no police. Go in your house and lock the door. What you need the police for is no danger outside. No crime. Why? Because you're where you're supposed to be at.
Right.
Go in your house and lock the door. Don't get up to the morning time, right?
Right.
You don't hear no birds. Stay inside. Right?
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
If it's not yours, don't touch it.
Right.
That means I could drop my wallet on the street. If it's yours, don't you touch it.
Right.
So if I say, oh man, I lost my wallet, let me backtrack. Ain't nobody looking out the window to see, you know, that's not, no, it's right there. That's a righteous environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't have to lock my doors. I can just go, because ain't nobody going to come in.
Right.
I don't have to lock my cars.
Right.
And then, don't you want, I want to live in a world like that, don't you?
I do.
This is not it.
No.
This is not it.
Right.
Children being obedient.
Right.
Huh? Tell them to do something? Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes ma'am. Yes. Anything else I can do for you? I thank you so much for feeding me. Thank you so much for giving me a place to lay my head. Put this on. Thank you so much for clothing me. You don't hear nobody say, I don't want to wear this. It don't look. What are you talking about? Folks don't have clothes. Let me take you some other place. Well, the people don't have no clothes.
Right.
Then you appreciate everything they give you, right?
Right?
No shoes. Go walk in the woods without anything on your feet. Then you come back home and appreciate shoes.
Right.
Cut your feet up enough. Right? Huh? Cut your feet up enough in them twigs and rocks.
Right.
Then you'll be glad somebody put something on your feet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
True.
Right.
Appreciation. We're not living in that world, saints. I only dealt with a little bit of things. There's a whole list that we can go down. We're not living in that world. That's why we need to get born again. So we can go into what? A new heaven and a new earth. Place where there dwells righteousness. Thanks, all right? Because you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin.